Blog Talk Radio.
Stay in a game, if for the lack of a better term,
a game of success, a game of elevation, a game which it requires that we put our best foot forward and deal with our higher self as opposed to our lower self. And drugs such as alcohol gives one the inclination or the propensity to deal with lower self orientation, and thusly playing games that can be very detrimental to him or herself, the immediate family, the community, and the world at large. So in previous shows, we've discussed such books such as The Psychology of Slavery by Dr. Naeem Akbar, which address those things which are very systemic within the African community. And, of course, no ethnic group is oblivious, or should I say, safe from the addictions that prevail our communities throughout the world. So the games people play deals with a concept called transactional analysis. And just very briefly, I'm not going to get too deep into it right now, but we're dealing with how one relates to one another. Indeed, how do you relate to yourself? We all have that inner child within us. We all have the inner adult within us. We all have the inner parent within us. And, of course, we should nurture ourselves with the parenting that we need, even if we don't have our parents immediately within our domain. And, of course, it always is helpful to allow the child within that playfulness to come to surface. One should not take life as serious as one would be inclined to 24/7. You have to have time in which you can play. And that play can be translated into one's hobby, one's sense of being able to enjoy life by being in the company of others and share jokes, positive, healthy jokes, being in a position where you can laugh and be joyful. And then, of course, the adult part requires that you try to conduct your life as you become an adult. Chronologically, you try to conduct yourself as much as possible as an adult, and that translates into being responsible for taking care of your body, being responsible for nourishing your soul, being responsible for being a responsible partner to your mate, and also a responsible parent to your children and friend to your friends. So let's review very briefly the piece dealing with the alcoholic. And I chose this because the year that we're in, 2012, has been a very interesting year. And I won't get into depth with the aspects of 2012, but it was something, a year that was met with a certain amount of apprehension and trepidation by some and by others with positive anticipation. And the positiveness, which I want to really lean on and be focused on, is that the year 2012 was supposed to be an indication of change, positive change. And, of course, that change being foremost on the spiritual realm. And so that spiritual realm, does not involve one being intoxicated, if you will, by drugs. That involves one nourishing one's body with proper nutrition and good food, especially fruits and vegetables, and good thinking, positive thoughts with yourself, and, of course, sharing it with other people in your life who have positive things to share, and to be in a state of joy as opposed to in a state of sadness. So the life games, as according to Dr. Byrne, he states that all games have an important and probably decisive influence on the destinies of the players under ordinary social conditions. But some offer more opportunities than others for lifelong careers and are more likely to involve relatively innocent bystanders. And this group may be conveniently called life games. It includes alcoholic, debtor, kick me, now I've got you, You Son of a Bee, See What You Made Me Do, and also their physical variants. They merge on the one side with marital games and on the other side with those of the underworld. So his thesis is that the alcoholic, in the game analysis, there is no such thing as alcoholism or the alcoholic, but there is the role called the alcoholic in a very certain type of game. If a biochemical or physiological abnormality is the prime mover in excessive drinker, and that is still open to some question, then it's basically a study that belongs in the field of internal medicine. But game analysis is interested in something quite different. The kinds of social interactions that are related to such excesses and hence the game, the alcoholic. So in its full flower, this is a five-handed game, although the roles may be condensed so that it starts off and terminates as a two-handed one. And the central role is that of the alcoholic, the one who is it, played by White. The chief supporting role is that of the persecutor, typically played by a member of the opposite sex, usually the spouse. And the third role is that of the rescuer, usually played by someone of the same sex, often the good family doctor who is interested in the patient and also in drinking problems. However, in the classical situation, the doctor successfully rescues the alcoholic from his habit. And after White has been taking the drink for 6 months, they congratulate, after White has not taken the drink for 6 months, they congratulate each other. That's the doctor and the patient. And the following day, White is then found in the gutter. So what does that say? There are many of us who have been challenged in their younger years, especially I know I went through that when I was going to college. And as you know, a lot of us, when we go to college, that's our first time of us leaving the nest, you know, being on our own, being independent. And by going through this initiation of sorts, one is inclined to include drinking alcohol as a means of proving your adulthood, your manhood or womanhood. And of course, many of us have succumbed to that, and we have suffered as we become adults and continue in our years of growth and our journey. Many of us have, such as women, men impregnating young ladies and bearing a child because of being intoxicated under the influence of alcohol, indeed developing a dependency and becoming an alcoholic and addicted to the alcohol, thus not being able to maintain a job, to pay one's bills, to support oneself, needless to say, a family, and then, of course, not even taking care of one's body, so that you start off in a deficit in terms of your social spiritual journey. So there's a lot to say about even today, the year of 2012, the 21st of October. We have an acceptance within various communities that alcohol use is something that shouldn't be frowned upon. As a matter of fact, it's constantly celebrated at any given opportunity, from birthdays to weddings, anniversaries, to initiations of sorts, to holidays, such as what we have coming upon us very soon, various holidays such as Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. And that person that we were talking about earlier, who did not take a drink for 6 months, say they were sober all summer, and then, of course, they fell off the wagon by going to a dinner during Thanksgiving or a celebration during the holiday of Christmas and, indeed, New Year's, where you have a vast majority of the community, maybe over 70%, who are engaging in some type of alcohol indulgence. So it's something that it has a lot to do with us being, if you will, hoodwink and bamboozle to think that one can embrace certain customs, especially those of us within the African community, those of us of African descent. And we know what happened to those of us Native Americans who were duped to think that they could take alcohol, even though they had a predisposition to this particular drug that didn't allow them to make good judgment in terms of their territorial imperative. So the fourth role is that of the patsy or dummy. And in literature, this is played by the delicatessen man who extends credit to White, gives him a sandwich on the cuff and perhaps a cup of coffee without either persecuting him or trying to rescue him. In life, this is more frequently played by White's mother, who gives him money and often sympathizes with him about the wife who does not understand him. In this aspect of the game, White is required to account in some plausible way for his need for money, and by some project in which both pretend to believe, although they know that he is really going to spend most of the money for, or what he's going to spend most of the money for, sometimes the patsy slides over into another role, which is a helpful but not essential one, the agitator, the good guy, who offers supplies without even being asked for them. Come, have a drink with me, and you will go down here faster, quote unquote. The auxiliary professional in all drinking games is the bartender or the liquor clerk. And in the game, Alcoholic, he plays the fifth role, the connection, the direct source of supply, who also understands alcoholic talk, and who, in a way, is the most meaningful person in the life of any addict. The difference between the connection and the other players is the difference between professionals and amateurs in any game. The professional knows when to stop. At a certain point, a good bartender refuses to serve the alcoholic, who is then left without any supplies unless he can locate a more indulgent connection. And in the initial stages of Alcoholic, the wife may play all three supporting roles. At midnight, the patsy, undressing him, making him coffee, and letting him beat up on her. In the morning, the persecutor, berating him for the evil of his ways. And in the evening, the rescuer, pleading with him to change his ways. In the later stages, due to sometimes to organic deterioration, the persecutor and the rescuer can be dispensed with, but are tolerated if they are also willing to act as sources of supply. White will go to the mission house and be rescued if he can get a free meal there, or he will stand for scolding, amateur or professional, as long as he can get a handout afterward. So present experience indicates that the payoff in Alcoholic, as is characteristic of games in general, comes from the aspect of to which most investigators pay least attention. And in the analysis of this game, drinking itself is merely an incidental pleasure having added advantages. The procedure leading up to the real culmination, which is the hangover. It is the same in the game of the messmaker, which attracts the most attention, and merely a pleasure-giving way for White to lead up to the crux, which is obtaining forgiveness from Black. For the alcoholic, the hangover is not as much the physical pain as a psychological torment. The two favorite pastimes of drinking people are martini, how many drinks and how they will mix, and the morning after, let me tell you about my hangover. Martini is played, and for the most part by social drinkers, and many alcoholics prefer a hard round of psychological morning after. An organization such as AA offer him an unlimited opportunity for this. So whenever one patient visited his psychiatrist after a binge, he would call himself all sorts of names, and the psychiatrist would say nothing. But later, recounting these visits in a therapeutic group, White said with snug satisfaction that it was the psychiatrist who had called them all those names. So the main conversation interest of many alcoholics in the therapeutic situation is not their drinking, which they apparently mention mostly in indifference to their persecutors, but their subsequent suffering. So the transactional object of the drinking, aside from the personal pleasures that it brings about, is to set up a situation where the child can be severely scolded, not only by the internal parent, but by any parental figure in the environment which are interested enough to oblige. So hence we have the therapy of this game, which should be concentrated not on the drinking, but on the morning after the self-indulgence and the self-castigation, And there is a type of heavy drinker, however, who does not have hangovers, and such people do not belong in this present category. So next week I'm going to cover the aspects of the dry alcoholic, where we have people who act out in terms of being an alcoholic, but they haven't been drinking. There are certain addicts who act out in certain ways, but they're not using any other drugs like alcohol. And I can just personally say that in my experience that I've had the experience of playing the rescuer, and my parents and siblings and some friends being the patsy, as it were. And then, of course, going out in bars when I used to, my early years as a jazz musician, having the connector, the supplier, who was the bartender. And, of course, in other instances, if you're dealing with drugs, marijuana or whatever, you have the supplier who's going to offer you a free sample. And that same thing is being used, is used in the area of food, you know, because drugs are usually associated with being something that's illegal, something that's such as alcohol that is legal, but it's abused widely, but it's acceptable because it's legal. And it's used in a very ceremoniously environment for the most part. But at one time, they called alcohol spirits. And there was a reason for that, because it had certain spiritual attributes where one would use it for a certain spiritual ritual, as it were. There are very psychedelic drugs which were used for very spiritual reasons by such as indigenous people like the Native Americans here in this Western Hemisphere. But when we had certain people from certain sections of the world, mainly the European sector, as it were, and other areas associated in that particular vicinity, where they use these elements for selfish reasons, to conquer, to control, to maneuver, to manipulate, as it were, for their own selfish needs. And that's why certain religious communities came up with a doctrine and a rule that intoxication would not be tolerated within the practice of this of certain religions. And indeed, in certain spiritual communities, that is also the case, that one should not imbibe in the use of alcohol. One should not ingest drugs unless it is sanctioned by that spiritual / religious orientation organization for higher self and spiritual advancement. So we have to, I think, come to terms as we go into the new age, as it were, the age of change, age of collective growth, because recognizing that we are all interdependent upon one another, and we all affect each other. If one cell in the body becomes cancerous, unless you have a healthy immunizational system, in this case, certain rules, certain peer pressure, positive peer pressure, to and attack that cancer, then it will metastasize. It will begin to spread throughout the body. And that's the state that we have right now. We've had a cancer of drug use, a cancer of alcohol use that's being used in such a lower self orientation that it has provided a means of contamination, of toxicity within our various families, within our community, and within the structure of the whole world, as it were, in terms of us coming to terms of how to live a life that's dealing with higher self, dealing with the essence of love, the essence of sincere, genuine concern for each other as fellow human beings, as brothers and sisters. So, yes, next week we will cover a different section of the games people play by Dr. Byrne. I'm excited about touching upon the what he calls the debtor, the courtroom personality, the frigid woman, the frigid man, as it were. Then, of course, the blemish, the smoking game, the greenhouse. This is any aspect of your in life that you can think of, this dynamic, as it were, in terms of social intercourse. There is inevitably a game that is played within that particular sphere of interaction. So I encourage that one will actually purchase this book. And I have a bookstore on my website, which I sell books, and all the books that I review, you can purchase from my website at www.drumsofchange.com. And again, that title is Games People Play by Dr. Eric Byrne. That's B-E-R-N-E. So, yes, I want to thank you again. Those of you who are in the chat room, thank you for visiting us this evening. And those of you who are calling in, of course, if you would like to share any thoughts with us, please feel free to hit the number one button. It will be a pleasure to speak with you. I look forward to, again, reviewing this book, Games of Life. Actually, the Games People Play, actually. And I usually get these. What's the other book on that we talk about? Is it Florence?
Oh, Florence Scovel Shin, The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Florence
Scovel, S-C-O-V-E-L, Shin, S-H-I-N-N.
Mm-hmm. And The Game of Life.
The Game of Life and How to Play It.
Another excellent book, right? Yes, indeed. So, yes, we are going to review again Games People Play next week at 6:30. Next Sunday, and I'm looking forward to definitely sharing that information with you and developing a dialogue, especially with the coming holidays. This is something that I think that we all have the experience with, how we can be impacted upon by certain ritual, and ritual in this case, in this Western Hemisphere, being the consumption of alcohol, and it being used in such a way that it's accepted. And unfortunately, there's this. I remember years ago, and I'm going to end on this note, some 30 years, 40 years ago when I first started, well, say 40, 45 years ago when I first started sipping beer and so forth, I can remember distinctly when you walked in someone's house, the first thing that you were offered, would you like to have a beer? Would you like to have a drink? And people actually were so proud that they had their bar, you know, stocked with liquor, and that they had so many cans of beer in the refrigerator. Something to say about that. And I'm happy to see, though, that that's no longer the case. Times have changed, but not as much as we need for them to be. So, again, without any further ado, I end as I begin by giving praise to the One Most High. Dear God, we give this evening to you, and may our minds stay centered on the things of spirit and goodness, and may we not be tempted to stray from love. As we begin this week, we open to receive you, and please enter where you already abide. May our minds and hearts be pure and true, and may we not deviate from the things of goodness. May we see the love and innocence in all mankind behind the masks we all wear and the illusions of this worldly plane. We surrender to you our doings this evening, and we ask only that they serve healing of the world. May we bring your love and goodness with us to give unto others wherever we go. Make us the people that you would have us be. Direct our footsteps and show us what you would have us do. Make the world a safer, more beautiful place. Bless all your creatures and heal us all and use us, dear Lord, that we might know the joy of being used by you. We thank you again. We are grateful. Namaste. Shalom. Assalamu alaikum. One love, peace, and blessings. Take care.